The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of Praise 107.9 or its parent company, Delmarva Educational Association.
Welcome to Kingdom City Church's prophetic radio broadcast with Prophet Brian Karn. Enjoy today's message.
So I really want you to see that the truth of the matter is why we don't give is because we don't believe God. Amen. I know that may don't make you shout, but if you believe the word of God and what the word of God says, it says give and it shall be what? Given unto you, good measure, come on, press down, come on, shaking together, and what? So you can justify, come up with every excuse you want to come up with. I have this bill, I have that bill, I have this responsibility. I was having a phone conversation with somebody on the way here. They were telling me, Prophet Khan, you don't understand. You have this amount of money, you're not able to do this. And one thing you got to learn, how many people know you don't ever count nobody's pockets? Amen. You don't never count another man's pockets and assume what people have, because you don't know what people got. Amen. You can look at people in church and they look like they got it all together, and you don't know they trust in God just like you. Amen. Some of us don't learn how to look good when it ain't good. Anybody got that testimony? Amen. Even if you ain't feeling good, you know how to dress like it's all good. Amen. So you have to learn how to do that. You never count another man's pocket, but we have to trust God. We come up with every excuse in the world as to why we don't give and why we don't trust God. And the reason I'm going here is I told you that the one sin is the one sin of what? Unbelief. Not trusting Him. It's not believing Him. And that's why it hurts God when He says give and you decide to hold on to it. Or you try to make things make sense to Him. Or you try to say, I can't afford to do this and I can't afford to do that. How many people know that you can do whatever you want to do? I know y'all ain't shouting, but that means this word cutting good. Amen. We can give when we want to give. And so many times we'd rather keep our lights on and we'd rather keep this in place and rather do that. And I'm telling you that sometimes the Holy Ghost will challenge you to see if you're willing to give up your comforts to be obedient. All right. Are you willing to give up your comforts? Or are you willing to give up your house, your car, whatever it is? God, I want you to know that you release a word through the man of God. I trust the word of the man of God. Your word says, believe the prophet. Amen. And so shall you prosper. So I'm going to do everything in my power. And I want you to do that because on the 7th of July, I'm trusting God and I'm believing God. And some of you in here got to learn, just like you save money for a vacation and you save money to get your hair done and you put money aside to buy things, you need to put money aside to give to God. Amen. Put that money aside and say, hey, I can't touch this. This belongs to God. I'm not going to touch it, because we do. And some of y'all to be coming to me talking about something, y'all ain't got it, have the best hairdo in the church. Amen. Every Sunday I see you got a new hairdo. Amen. Amen. You can got a hairdo, you can come up with $500. Say amen. How many people know weave costs money? Say amen. Amen. They ain't giving out weave for free. Say amen. Amen, church. All right, so we're going to trust God and we're going to believe God. Say amen. Look at somebody and say, I believe God. Tell somebody on the other side, I believe God. So that's something that you got to do. So you can just all you want. But the truth is you don't believe God. Amen? Amen. And I'm not telling you that if you don't give, God is mad at you. I already let you know God's not mad. God's not upset with you. He made a promise with you in Isaiah 54 that He'll never get mad with you again. He'll never rebuke you. That His thoughts towards you are good, not evil, is to give you an expected end. But when you don't give, you're robbing God of the opportunity to be your provision. Yeah. Amen. I want to be your provision. I want you to know me as your provider. I don't just want you to know me as your salvation. I want you to know me as your provider. Some of you know Him as the God of your salvation, but you don't know Him as the God of your provision. And you won't let Him be. And He wants the same God that saved you is the same God that provided for you. Amen. Look at somebody and say, He paid all my bills at Calvary. Say, He healed my body at Calvary. Do you believe that? So that's what God is saying. He said, I want to love you and I want to provide for you. It's not Him beating you up. It's not me trying to make you feel bad into giving. Because if you feel bad about giving and you don't want to give it, keep your money, because you're not going to be blessed anyway. It's not about condemnation. It's a ministry of love. But I'm telling you that sometimes we got to learn how to couch the truth in love. Yeah. Amen. Give people the truth, but sit it on a couch. You don't always have to beat people down with it and tear folk up. You got to learn how to love people so that they can get the truth. And you got to convince people. Watch it. How many people know that people will listen to you when they are convinced that you love them? Amen. When a person knows that you love me, when you can sit somebody down and say, hey, I don't have no motive. I don't have no agenda. I'm not trying to take nothing from you. I don't need you. I had to sit down and have a hard conversation with one of the leaders of KCC the other day. And I sat down and I went out to eat with him. And I said, listen, let me make this very clear to you. I said, I love you. I do not need you. KCC don't need you. KCC will be fine without you. You are here because I want you to be here. And I love you. And I want you to be a part of this ministry. And if you're going to be here, I need to know you're dedicated to this ministry. And the things that I'm saying to you, I'm not saying it to you to hurt you, to make you feel bad. But I'm telling it to you because if somebody don't tell you the truth, you're going to be hindered. Say amen. And I'm going to tell you something. I tell some people, you get around certain anointing, you know, a preacher got to be smart enough. I don't mean this arrogantly. I told you, when you say what God said about you, that's not arrogance. That's humility, because you're saying what God said, as long as you point it back to Christ. But I had a young man in the church. He came to me and said, Pastor, somebody told me that I could be doing the same thing you're doing. And I said, whoever that friend was who told you that, you need to cut them off. Amen. Amen. Because they lied to you. Now, I don't mean that arrogantly, but you need to recognize when an anointing is superior to yours. You got to recognize that. You got to recognize when you come in the presence of somebody who's more anointed than you. It don't take from you to recognize, hey, baby, you got something I ain't got. Amen. You have a wisdom that I don't have. You have a revelation that I don't have. And I'm dumb to sit up and try to fight back and forth with you. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, just because you've been in something longer than somebody don't mean you're more anointed than them. Say amen to that. All right. So I really want you to understand that by the spirit of grace, that people will have you making decisions and you'll be trusting in people and believing folk what people tell you to do. And you up and make a decision. You listen to what other folk tell you. They'll reprobate your mind and tell you certain things. And your whole spirit is jacked up because you listen to somebody. I told the church in St. Mary, Bishop Gates is my pastor. Pastor Antonio Richardson is my pastor. They cannot offend me. I can never be offended by my pastor. I have made up in my mind that no matter what my pastor do, he cannot offend me, because if he can offend me, I can't receive from him. So I ain't gonna let you do nothing to make me look at my pastor the wrong way, because I need what's in his mouth. I cannot be offended. Hallelujah. Ain't nothing Bishop Gates can yell at me, scream at me, kick me, beat me down. Don't matter. I love you, Bishop. I know that's right. Crazy about you, Bishop. Nothing he can do to offend me, because I made a choice to make him the voice of God in my life. So when he kicked me, God kicking me. When he fussed at me, that's God fussing at me. And see, some of y'all so ignorant and so shallow that you keep trying to separate God from the man and don't recognize God is in the man. God was in Christ. Yay! Reconciling the world unto himself. The Bible declares that there's a mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. God always gonna use a man. Don't you let the devil trick you. Sitting up there, I got my own relate. There's a reason you got a pastor. Say amen, church. All right, so there's nothing my pastor can do to offend me. He can't make me mad. He can't upset me. You want to know why? Because I am convinced that my pastor don't need me. Why would you let somebody offend? Why would you be offended by somebody who tell you the truth who don't need you. Now think about that. If a person tells you the truth and they don't need you, what is their motive? The only motive for them telling you what they're telling you is they're trying to help you because they don't need you. And the truth of the matter is, because they don't need you, they don't have to help you. You choose to get offended. You choose to get mad. Somebody trying to help you because you're proud, you lift it up, and you hate to be corrected. Amen. Hallelujah. I cannot be offended by my pastor. Can't offend me. Can't make me mad. Can't upset me. Nothing you can do to make me mad. Bad told Bishop Gay, told him another day. I said, Bishop Gay, do you know you can't do nothing to make me mad? He said, I'm going to try it. I said, don't try too much now, Bishop. Don't try too much. But I made up in my mind, I can't be offended by him because I need to receive from him. If I get offended by my pastor, I can't receive. If the devil had me that right now, some of y'all just got offended. He preaching on me. See, you mental. I get mental. Mental. I promise to the living God that nobody has a conversation with me about anything I preach before I come out here and preach. Don't nobody tell me nothing that's going on. They don't have no meetings for me. So if you sit up in your seat thinking, they must have told him, son, you're shallow. You don't trust your Holy Ghost. My Holy Ghost will reveal what I don't want him to reveal. The Holy Ghost will come down your street when you don't want him to. Get all in your business. Lift your hand and say, get in my business, Jesus. But it's a ministry of love. Somebody loves you and you convince people that you love them. When you convince that your mama love you, your daddy love you, your sister love you, and somebody pull you to the side and say, hey, don't do that. Don't handle that this way. You're going to hurt yourself. When you convince that they love you, you'll listen to them. And if you don't listen to somebody who love you, you ain't going to listen to nobody. My mama loved Brian Keith Kahn Jr. I'm talking about the son, not the daddy. Okay. My mama loved me. Okay. And my mama really ain't gonna say too much to me. She ain't gonna bother me. She respect me. She honor me. So if my mama ever said to me, hey son, you might want to do this. Do you know I'd be crazy to not listen? And look other times up, I'm the pastor. Now I could pull rank, but if I did, that's pride. Cause I'm convinced she loves me. And when you're convinced that somebody loves you, you can't receive from them. Some of you, you can't receive because you think everybody against you. Nobody could have a conversation with you. Nobody can talk to you. Nobody could tell you certain things. Hey, baby, don't wear that. They jealous of me. No, baby, that don't look good on you. Come on, y'all. Mothers ought to be able to talk to young ladies. Fathers ought to be able to talk to young men. Ought to be able to pull you aside and say, hey, you know, You need to change what you got on. Do you know we should have so much love in here that a brother or sister should be able to pull you aside and tell you when your hygiene is off? And you don't get offended. Don't let me be stank around here flaming the whole church. I'm flaming the whole church. It's true. Saint, this is true. This just happened last Sunday. Not this Sunday. Last Sunday, a young lady came to the church, gave her life to the Lord, and my God, she lifted her up. And my God, like I almost fainted out. Okay. Now most people laugh. More folk make faces. That's not funny. That's deadly. You understand? So, while folk laugh after church. All right? Now she was new to the church. Brand new. I pulled her aside. Come here, baby. You pretty girl. But ain't no man coming near you. A man don't like a woman who smells. Hello, 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 hello.
Amen.
She ain't get mad. She ain't get offended. Amen. Sometimes you need to change your deodorant. Secret works. Secret works. Secret works. Secret works. Amen. Degree works. Amen. Don't let me go old school on you. Avon works. Hey, y'all know about Avon? You talking about the roller one with the little purple top. Y'all know the Avon. Hey, Avon lady used to come to the door. Come on, y'all ain't saying that. Hey. That's love. Don't see me in a bad place and don't help me. Amen. You got to talk to people the right way. The Bible says that the wisdom of God is easily entreated. There's a way you have a conversation with people. I understand when you're talking to older people, you got to tell them they're wrong and make them feel like they're right. The Bible told me that all these men over here are older than me. The Bible told me I cannot rebuke an elder, but I must entreat him as a father. So even though I'm the pastor of this church, I can't look at those men who are older men. Sit down somewhere, act like you got some sense. Because men got egos, you understand? So the Bible say I have to entreat them as a father. That was Paul having a conversation with Timothy to tell him how to deal with older men in the church. The wisdom of God is easily entreated. All right? And if people keep telling you that the way you talk to people is inappropriate, you need to consider that. Okay, everybody not wrong. You just don't know me. Well, everybody ain't gonna get a chance to get to know you. And the first impression is the last impression. And you need to have the right first impression so somebody would want to get to know you. Lift your hand and say, Lord, teach me how to talk to people. Come on, lift your hand and say, Lord, I want to do better. Amen. If you raised in a house where you just said what you want to say, everybody want to raise like that. Some of these folks, you got to walk on eggshells around. You say something to them, they damaged. They just gone for the whole year because you said something. Everybody different. I wasn't raised in a house like that. I was raised in a house, if they fuss you and start crying, guess what they do? They pick on you some more. And tell you, I don't care nothing about you crying. That's how I was raised. But other folk was raised in a house, baby. What is going on? I wasn't raised out like that. That, you know, in the South, you know, your mama said that's what it is. And no negotiation. I was sitting up with my grandmother yesterday. My grandfather was a very soft-spoken man, and I had a grandmama, Grandma Bennett. She would fuss, you would fuss. My granddaddy didn't do much talking. He didn't do much talking. He didn't do a lot of talking. But she'd be fussing and fussing. My granddad looked at her and say, Maddie, that's enough now. Yeah. You know, that's how old folk used to talk. Yeah. Maddie, I done heard enough. And guess what she did? Shut up. See, older men, they didn't do a bunch of talking. But when they did talk, everybody listened. Say amen. Yeah. Look at somebody and say, I love you and you can't do nothing about it. So anytime God asks you to give, asks you to do something, it's not because if you don't do it, you're going to be under curse. Because Christ has redeemed us from the what? Curse. Amen. We've been redeemed from the curse. There's no curse that come on you when you don't do something. That's bad teaching. That's not the word of God. God loves what kind of giver? Cheerful. What kind of giver does God love? Cheerful. And when you Don't give him the 10%, the 20%, the 30%, whatever I ask for. The only thing the Holy Spirit is going to come to you and say is, why don't you trust me? He ain't going to beat you down and say, I'm going to curse your money. No, he's going to say, why don't you trust me? He's going to say, I'm the God of your salvation, but can I be the God of your money? I'm the God of your body, but can I be the God of your money? Say amen.
Amen.
Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. I want you to see that even under the old covenant, even under the old covenant, I think we have a bad understanding of what God is and who God is and how God portrays himself. And a lot of people think that the old covenant God was a mean God and the new covenant God is a nice God, Jesus. But I want y'all to see that God even had grace under the old covenant. You know, in chapter 11 of 2 Samuel, which is where we're going to go to chapter 12. In chapter 11, y'all remember that's when David messed up. Y'all remember when David messed up? Messed up with Uriah the Hittite's wife. Did something he didn't have no business doing. Got caught up in sin. And the Bible declares that the word of the Lord came unto him through Nathan the prophet. And God said to him, hey, one man had this, another man had that. Nathan came with a parable, all right? And David determined, I told y'all, his own judgment. All right? He said, such a man should be killed. And what did Nathan look at him and say? Thou art the man. He was able to determine his own judgment. Because guess what? I believe that God allowed that parable to come to see how he would respond to somebody else. Now let me tell you, you that don't give mercy won't have mercy. You folk that talk about everybody, guess what? When your day come, everybody gonna talk about you. Amen. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall what? Obtain mercy. Anybody here need mercy in your life? Amen. So when I do wrong, when I hear things and situations that has happened with preachers or with men of God, I keep telling y'all, stay off of these blogs. Stay off of this stuff on the internet that have you putting your mouth on a man of God. You never know what happened with that man of God. And that's why Hebrews chapter 13 declares marriage is honorable in all. The bed is undefiled. This is very powerful. He said, but a whoremonger and an adulterer, what? He will judge. Now, you would think that adultery is something that anybody could easily judge. If a man cheat on his wife, that's wrong. Judge it. If a man's a whoremonger, judge it. But God said there are certain situations that happen in individuals' life that you're not qualified to judge it. Every situation ain't the same. Every time somebody mess up, everybody don't mess up because of the same reason. Everybody ain't messing up because they full of the devil. Everybody ain't messing up because they wicked. Some people weak. Amen. Some people got strongholds and things in their life. They have rejection issues and father's issues and mother's issues. Things that they need to be walked through and talked through and counseled through. They need inner healing. They need deliverance. And if you just look at them and say, you're wrong, you don't know how many people you've lost because you had no mercy. Come on, church. Amen. You gotta know how to have mercy on people. So when you get to 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, in verse 8, look at what he said. He said, I want you to see this. I want you to know that I don't believe God ever ordained men having more than one wife, because in Mark chapter 10, he said, for this cause, I told Adam to cleave unto his wife, two shall be one flesh. That's what I believe. But I want you to see how much mercy and how much love God had for David. He said, I gave you your master's house. I gave you your master's wives, plural. Into your bosom. This is God saying, I gave you wives into your bosom. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And he said, if that had been too little, I would have gave you more. Y'all quiet in here. David knew how to touch God in such a way that he said, David, you went after Bathsheba. And this is why it hurt him. He said, you went after another man's wife. When if you wanted something, all you had to do was ask me. At the root of the issue was, you didn't trust me. You took things into your own hands and tried to do it your way. He said, you used to be small, but now you're trying to do it your way. And you know what hurt God the most? It was not that he messed up with Bathsheba. It was not that he killed Uriah. What hurt God the most was they had a mess up in their personal relationship. Look at somebody and say, it's all about relationships.
All about relationships.
Standards and rules will always fail. Situational ethics and peer pressure, those things will not keep you. Everything that you do for God should be done out of relationship. In Genesis chapter 39, Joseph, when he did wrong, he didn't say, how could I sin against the people? He said, how could I sin against God? I'm telling you that this whole walk with God is about us maintaining a deep, a intimate relationship with him. And I know some of you want to say that everybody got the same relationship, but let me tell you something. He did not reveal himself to the 120 like he revealed himself to the 70. He did not reveal himself to the 70 like he revealed himself to the 12. He did not reveal himself to the 12 like he revealed himself to the 3, Peter, James, and John. And he did not reveal himself to the 3 like he revealed himself to the 1, which was John. Everybody in here, based on your level of sacrifice and how much you're willing to be intimate with him, would determine how much of him he'll give you. Everybody don't have him on the same level. He said, Caleb, I talked to in dreams and visions, but Moses, I talked to him face to face. Amen. All right. So there are different levels. There are different dimensions. There are different pieces of him that he will reveal to you based on how deep you want to know him. And look at somebody and say, I want to know him deep. Guess what God was saying? God was saying, David, you my boy. You worship me. You love me. That's what David said. God was saying to David, how could you do this to me? God is not having an issue with what you're doing. The problem is the things you're doing is really a substitute for him. Give me verse 9.
Thank you for listening to the Prophetic Radio Broadcast with Prophet Brian Karn. We invite you to join us at a Kingdom City church near you. Come worship with us at KCC Charlotte in Charlotte, North Carolina, every Sunday and Tuesday at 7 p.m., meeting at Grace and Mercy Cathedral, 2670 Dr. Carver Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, or at KCC St. Mary's in St. Mary's, Georgia, every Sunday at 10 a.m. and Thursday at 7 p.m. at 124 Industrial Drive, St. Mary's, Georgia. Call 1-833-522-5433 or 1-855-984-2276. Or visit us at kccharlotte.org or briankarn.com for more information and to sow a seed into the ministry. More grace, we're excited about your future.